The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 29th through Sunday, January 4th in the new year 2026. The commentary for December was written by Dorothy Sanders Wells, who serves as Bishop of the Diocese of Mississippi, committed to working for racial healing, justice, and equity for all of God's people. She was a lawyer for many years before leaving the practice to follow God's call to ordained ministry. She and her husband Herb have two daughters. The commentary for Monday, December 29th begins as follows, with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 13. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Here's the commentary. A Joseph of the ancient world, great-grandson of Abraham, was a dreamer. His visions of what was to come in the world and his ability to interpret others' dreams ultimately meant survival for his family, albeit in the new and foreign land of Egypt. That Joseph, the dreamer, sold into slavery by his brothers, found favor with an Egyptian king and gave his family refuge from a famine that might otherwise have consumed them. A Joseph of the first century world is told in a dream to go to where his ancestors had been enslaved to save the life of this holy child entrusted to his care. Between the stories of brutal mistreatment and slavery in the past and the fear of the death of this holy child in the present, how does he trust that dream? Our dream may have powerful messages from God, but certainly sometimes those dreams can be frightening. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men, fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. And it is on this day, December 29th, that we commemorate the feast of the Holy Innocents. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, how do you open yourself to hear and trust God's voice, even when the evidence seems to contradict the message? The commentary for Tuesday, December 30th begins with a passage from the third letter of John, verse 11a. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. When Christy and Wesley Wirtz married, they brought together a blended family, each having a daughter and a son from a prior marriage. Several years later, they learned that Wesley's ex-wife, the mother of his two children, had died in a Texas hospital shortly after having given birth to a baby boy. Wesley hadn't been in contact with his ex-wife for a long time, but was told that there was no one to take the child in. When Wesley shared this news with Christy, she prayed about the new baby and traveled to the hospital. Christy had grown up as a foster child. While her own experience was positive, she knew that not all children fare as well. She and Wesley moved their family from Ohio to Texas to become the baby's foster parents and begin the adoption process so the baby could be united with his half-siblings. Once the adoption was finalized, 16 months later, the family returned to Ohio with their new son. Christy, with her own story of the foster care system, wrote a beautiful new one, imitating all that is beautiful and good, turning a bad situation into a love story. And now I'm going to read the full passage from, in the full letter of John, the third letter of John, chapter 1, verse 15. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely, how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends, even though they are strangers to you. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God, for they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people, so that we may become co-workers with the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing and spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Instead, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk together face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you their greetings. Greet the friends there, each by name. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, December 30th, how can our experiences help us shape new stories? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. It begins with a passage from James chapter 5, verse 7a. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. When I was growing up, some black churches in our community still observed watch night prayer services on New Year's Eve. Those worship services commemorated New Year's Eve of 1862, when enslaved persons in the Confederate States watched and waited for the stroke of midnight, when Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation would establish their patiently awaited freedom. Our nation soon learned that the Emancipation Proclamation did not mean true freedom. It granted emancipation only to enslaved persons in the rebelling Confederate States. Emancipation did not mean education, employment, or economic security for these formerly enslaved persons who still had no schools or real employment and painfully few places to gather. Commemorative watch night services were observed as our nation trudged toward the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Fewer and fewer of those services continue. Perhaps we might consider reinstituting watch night services in all churches today as a reminder of our patiently awaiting the day of God's justice for all of God's people. And now I'm going to read from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, and chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town, and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Be patient, therefore, beloved. Until the coming of the Lord, the farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, this final day of 2025, what does it mean to actively await God's justice? Now we officially turn the calendar to 2026. On Thursday, January 1st, the Feast of the Holy Name. This commentary begins with a passage from Luke chapter 2, verse 21b. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Growing up, we had nativity scenes on display in our home during Advent and Christmas. On Christmas Day, we would take the several figures of baby Jesus and place them in the matching scene to which they belonged, or at least seemed to belong. Those scenes grow more precious to me as I come to see that God has no good reason to dwell here. After all, I know the mess of my life, the mess of this world, the mess of Jesus' world, none of which are anywhere near prepared for the One who creates all things and is beyond our imagination. Yet there and here, God is, all of God, as much of God as we can ever see, with a face and a body, with the whole of our community. God chooses to be known to us in the way we are known to one another, by name. Jesus, and even that name, speaks to God's purposes for us and this world. Salvation. And now I'm going to read the gospel for this day from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And the moving forward question for this day is, first, list the different names you have for Jesus. Which one resonates most today on the Feast of the Holy Name? Now the commentary for Friday, January 2nd, it begins with a passage from John chapter 6, verse 12. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." After the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples gather up the leftovers so that nothing may be lost. 12 basketfuls remain. I don't think that number is mere coincidence. If the apostles come to mind, I suspect they're meant to. Jesus' first disciples must have wondered what the fruits of their efforts would be and if their efforts were for naught. Well, they experienced grace upon grace in God, incarnate, and yet, like us, they also experienced adversity, disappointment, and failure. Yet, here we are, in part because they followed in the example of their Lord. They took, blessed, broke, and gave, and nothing was lost. Christmas is a time of abundance. God's taking on our humanity is nothing less than overflowing generosity. As the days pass and the world returns to its usual cadences, we may wonder if the good news of God with us is lost in the startling rhythms of the ordinary. Yet we belong to a God in whose economy nothing is lost. The baskets remain full, and the harvest plentiful. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And the moving forward question for this Friday, how are you marking these 12 days of Christmas? The commentary for Saturday, January 3rd, begins with a passage from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 11a, in the Old Testament. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Elijah is a contradiction. He is an instrument of God, raising the son of a widow, speaking truth to earthly power, and defeating the prophets of a false god. Yet he is afraid, fleeing for his life from the same powers, tired of speaking to an unhearing world, and uncertain as to his value to God. It is in those contradictions that God speaks, promising to meet Elijah. And while Elijah might want the clarity of earthquake, wind, or fire, God speaks in the sheer silence. Oh, how I wish God would speak in clearer ways. It would make God's call and my questions more apparent and my path as a disciple clear. But God speaks in the most deafening of silences to listening hearts. God asks Elijah to stand waiting in the silence in his confusion, and I dare say God asked the same thing of me, to dwell in that place in which only God can speak and be truly heard. And now I'm going to read this passage from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 9 through 18, and the place where this is located is on Mount Horeb. "At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He answered, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away.' He said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He answered, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat al Abel-Meloah as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how do you quiet the noise to hear God speaking? Set aside a place and time today for silence. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to Sunday, January 4th, the second Sunday of Christmas. This commentary begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Destiny is not one of those words I'm comfortable with. I've seen lots of sports teams labeled teams of destiny fall short. Destiny belongs to the great names of history, I would think, not for me. Destiny is for far, far bigger lives than mine. How amusing, then, that Scripture gives me no quarter. We are destined. We are created. We are made, it says, for nothing less than adoption as God's children. Ours is every blessing in the heavenly places and every purpose of God's perfect will. My life, small as it is, has cosmic significance because God has chosen me even before all things came to be. This, beloved, is why we call grace amazing. God's grandest of purposes are revealed in the smallest of things, even our own lives, lived for the praise of God's glory. And now I'll read from the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, such as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And the moving forward question for this day is, how do you understand destiny as articulated in this scripture passage? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and I wish you a very happy 2026. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new programs of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.